This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Well, Tom Tyler and I are here today, and we are going to be starting a series on Gilbert Bible Church's biblical convictions. A conviction is a firm belief, something you have a fixed assurance of or certainty of, and we see in Scripture the expression of the early believers having full conviction or firm conviction. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, Paul says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." That's how the gospel came, full assurance or full certainty, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. Romans 14, verse 22, the faith which you have as your own conviction or your own firm belief or full assurance before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. The Lord has been kind to give to us truth in his word. We are to steward that truth diligently, and from that truth comes full conviction or firm conviction. And at Gilbert Bible Church, we have biblical convictions, convictions that are rooted out of God's word that we as elders hold to. We want to communicate those to the body, be transparent about those things. And we're going to talk about the seven that we have and over the coming weeks. And Tom, I would love for you to talk a little bit. Gilbert Bible Church is almost, hard to believe this, almost 4 years old in existence. We inherited these convictions. We brought them over from Grace Bible Church. Would love to hear from you kind of the history of how the idea or the thought of formulating and having biblical convictions as a church came about.
Josh, thinking back to when we sat down and started working on biblical convictions, originally we used the word distinctive. And then we became aware that distinctive is kind of a dividing word. We're setting ourselves apart, but we really don't know anything about other churches because this is our church. And as we talked about what we firmly hold to, not wanting to set ourselves apart from others that we love, we realized conviction, to be convinced of something from Scripture, was a better way to describe how we hold the things. It became important to recognize the need for conviction because as the internet became how most people begin finding you, it was kind of like your new front door of people learning about your church. We wanted to put out the things that we were convinced of from Scripture. If you come and visit our church, how we will approach a verse, we just wanted it to be known. We don't want to divide, and I realize we have brothers and sisters that hold a different hermeneutic on some things, and it's not to divide, but we would want somebody who's coming through our new front door, which is the internet, to know what they can know about our church and know what's important to those that are teaching. Can you attend Gilbert Bible Church and not be convinced of the same things? Of course you can. But we want you to know, when we come to a passage, this is how we're going to cut Scripture. And so for those visiting the church, coming to the church, we have found it just to be helpful that they know exactly a bit more about Gilbert Bible Church. And that's how convictions came about.
Yeah, that's helpful. I think that is really wonderful help for those coming into the church to discover those key beliefs on the front end so that they're not growing in relationships, serving, anchoring in, growing deep roots in the body, only to come to find out a year, 3 years, 5 years later, because you finally came across a passage that dealt with something. Wait, what? You believe this?
And that's painful.
It's happened.
I know you guys have heard me share this story. Back in 2003, we had a dear brother, friend, who was part of the church. And when something was taught from the pulpit, after 3 years, says, I have to leave. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it was hard for him. It was hard for us. And so we just want to remove any assumptions or the assumptions that we can.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no way that you can account for every potential issue that would come up. But the key ones that have uniquely shaped or formed the church over time, whether it be from social issues or issues in evangelicalism at large that are being discussed that are having a dividing effect or an impact on the church as a whole— those things can be really helpful in having clarity in what you hold to and what you believe as a church. So we have 7 biblical convictions. Grace Bible Church has 8. The reason why we have one less is because we simply moved our vision and purpose, which Grace has categorized as a biblical conviction, into its own category. We firmly hold to our vision and purpose that we would be God-glorifying, cross-centered or Christ-centered, and have an emphasis on transformation of life through the Spirit, and that gospel vision would lead us to gospel purpose, which is that we would draw in and build up and send out. So we firmly believe that. We hold to that. We believe it's rooted in Scripture. We just gave it a tab as its own. But the 7 like convictions that we hold to, they vary in degree of essentialness toward the foundations of the gospel. There, you talked about not everybody has to hold to these. The reality is that some convictions may need to be held differently or with different emphasis, but all of them do impact our unity as a body.
Yeah.
And what we have said is that we understand that everyone that visits or attends Gilbert Bible Church may not hold or may not be as developed in these things. Maybe they just haven't thought about them yet, haven't been instructed on them, or they grew up being taught one thing and they don't even know how to defend it, maybe. I know there were several things like that in my life, especially early on, where I was taught things. I believed those things, but I didn't know how to defend those things. And when I came in contact with God's Word, my thinking changed and my beliefs shifted. So people just are inevitably going to be in different spots at different times. But the point is what I think you've already said, full transparency as elders and a source of accountability before the body.
Absolutely.
That we've said, this is what God's Word says, this is what we believe, and this is what you're going to hear. And if you hear something differently, there's an inconsistency that should be addressed.
You know, Josh, that is a great point, because I would want somebody attending our church to hold us to this standard. It's not that we're holding others to this standard, but as the pastors, the elders of this particular church, if you come to this church and you don't hear God's Word being central to everything, you need to hold us accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the leadership, view these convictions of the pastors, the elders of Gilbert Bible Church, laying themselves open to be held accountable to a particular standard.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just being upfront. You need to hold us accountable to do this.
Yeah.
In this manner.
Yeah. I've heard it communicated that when you focus on truth or you have convictions like this that you hold to, even when you have clarity on the doctrine that you hold to as a church, that your emphasis then is just on truth. You compromise unity. It can be an obstacle to unity. Tyler, I'd love to hear your response. You've been quiet over there so far. I'd love to hear your thinking or response to the thought that clarity of truth or conviction over truth, that might create disunity in the body. How would you respond to somebody who might be arguing against having such developed expressions of belief in the church?
It's interesting. I was just reading the other day in John chapter 17. One of the primary things that Jesus is praying for his disciples is that they would have unity. Mm. And it's interesting, the passage leading up to that, the prayer, talks about sanctification, growth in holiness, and it talks about truth. That they would be sanctified in truth, and they would have this unity as a body, like the Father and the Son have unity. Yep. And we just don't see those things opposed to each other in God's word anywhere, over and over again. Our lives are impacted by what we believe. I was just reading that in Psalm 119 this morning. And loving others is part of how we live. Mm-hmm. That is what we're called to do. We're actually commanded to do that. I do think we have these convictions because we have a high view of the church. Because we understand the body is supposed to be joined together, like a building, like a family. We are to love one another deeply. When you look at the one another commands in Scripture, you are to be involved with other people. And there's a sobering reality that not everybody holds to the same convictions that we do. And we want to honor people, mm-hmm. and just trying to provide clarity up front. Mm-hmm. This is what we are convinced God's word teaches. And so this is what we must teach, because God's word speaks this way.
Yeah. Well, and I love the verse that you referenced in John 17, sanctify them in truth. He doesn't say, and your opinion is truth. And your feelings are truth. Or speak your own truth. It says your word is truth. And so if we are to be conformed more into the likeness of Christ by truth, and God's word is truth, then we need to submit ourselves to that truth in our beliefs, in what we hold to, in our thinking, that we come to God's word to shape and form our thinking. And if we're doing that, then clarity on God's word is not divisive. It's actually uniting. It creates godliness. It cultivates humility in the believer, as we're united in truth. Thinking about Philippians 2, have the same mind in you all that was in Christ, that there's this unity that comes in the body as we all direct our minds to be unified like Christ. And so that's, I think it's incredibly helpful for the body when the elders have clarity on the doctrine, on the beliefs, on the convictions of the truth. Even thinking through 1 Timothy 3:15, that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. If you go to a church that doesn't know what it believes about various topics, or is wishy-washy, and that's different than saying, we understand the sheep may not be where the leaders are yet, where the pastors are correct. Yet, but we're instructing and we're setting the foundation as we bring Scripture to bear on the life of the church and the flock. We're bringing clarity because we're bringing God's word to God's people. That has a wonderful effect on the church. If a church doesn't have that, that church loses stability. It loses its potential for unity because there's just not clarity in what direction the church is going or why it's doing what it's doing or what it believes.
And we've seen in recent history just the lack of clarity. The church changes with the culture, mm-hmm. because the word of God isn't superior. The culture becomes superior.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and that's a good point, Tom. So we have seven biblical convictions. That's not all the convictions we hold to from God's word.
Right.
Right. We have a lot of things we believe about God's word. We communicate those things through our doctrinal statement. Every time we open up God's word in front of the body, those things come out. We teach numerous lessons. I'd have to look at how many lessons we teach over the course of 2 years for EQ, probably something like 30 lessons in EQ where we're instructing the body on various topics and issues and personal character and philosophy of ministry, doctrines on attributes of God and other things like that. So these seven are not all we hold to, but they are critical in the formation of the church. So going back to what you talked about at first, that these are tools to help individuals who come into the church know where the elders stand on particular topics and to help the church body understand and be able to hold the elders accountable as far as everyday life in the church. Why these seven? Why did we come to the decision that these were worth notating with the level of clarity that we have?
Go, Tyler.
Well, he wasn't part of it.
Going back to when they first were formulated at Grace Bible Church, there were, I would say, at least two different things. One is just the conviction of the high view of Scripture, and secondly, addressing things that were going on in the church.
Exactly. Yep. That's what I remembered.
Yeah. And you know, as we get to just our conviction of missions, there was a reason why we said, you know what, we need to be solidified on how to do missions. Biblical manhood. We were addressing, and we're still addressing today, we're the minority on a biblical view of manhood in the church.
Yep.
And so it became necessary when fielding questions, would you consider a female pastor? You know what? This is an area we're convinced Scripture's clear.
Yep.
So it's for a need.
That's exactly right. That's how, so I think most of the convictions, if not all of them, were established when I became an elder. I think there were some that were being formed when I was an observer in elder meetings going through seminary, but I think they were all established by the time that I had become an elder. But what I remember was, these aren't all the things we hold to or believe, but these are things that uniquely shape us as a church that we think are helpful for those coming in, or things that are so prevalent in the culture and at times contrary to the culture that we believe really helpful to be transparent on the front end so that people know, you know, we believe in a six-day literal creation. We're crazy. We actually take God at his word with what he wrote in Genesis 1 through 3.
Yep.
And there's actually implications of that hermeneutically on how you handle the rest of God's word. But we want people to understand, hey, this is what we believe, this is what we hold to, so that that's not something that catches them off guard down the road. So
Maybe depending on the age of the listener, but just recognizing the new front door of the church is your website.
Yeah.
You are putting your foot forward just so somebody would know what's important.
Yeah. Yep. And so these seven convictions, I'm sure they will grow over time. I'm sure we'll add new convictions down the road as we have needs and address different issues in our body and in the culture. But for now, this is where we're at, and we're going to spend the next several sessions working through each of these convictions, just talking through them together. I look forward to that.
Can't wait.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.